You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles or your iPhones or iPads, smartphones, turn to Exodus chapter 20 as well. You can go online. Sermon notes are available for you. It is good to see you. Thank you for coming to be a part of worship here at the Island Church. This has been an amazing series that we've been walking through. And it's practical. It impacts everyday life. It's relevant. It's as relevant as the news that's popping up on your phone, the news alerts that are coming through at this moment. God's Word, and in light, the Ten Commandments are relevant for us today. In the first four commandments, we deal with relationship with God. There's one God. And we talked about, and we're not God. He's God. And then he tells us how to worship. And he says there's not to be any graven images. And we talked about idols. We don't tend to set up graven images today, make our images out of gold and silver. We did talk about some of the things that we worship as far as when it comes to art and architecture. There's a difference between appreciation and worship of those things. But we talked about idols in our heart and got real specific in those things. We talked about do not take the name of the Lord God in vain, and that it's more than damning God or using God's name to damn someone else. But to take his name in vain is to live life with pretense. It's to live life using Jesus' name for personal glory or personal profit. There are those who are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things? But they didn't do it for the glory of God. They did it for the glory of self. And we talked about learning to live and move and how to operate in the victory of his name. And then, of course, last week we talked about remember the Sabbath and the Lord's day versus the Sabbath. And we established the biblical facts, the biblical foundation as to why we worship on the first day of the week, and all the way through from Jesus' resurrection to the fact he met with Mary Magdalene on the first, he met with his disciples on the first day of the week, on the eighth day, which was the first day, he met with his disciples. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the first day. Jesus ascended on the first day of the week. How the disciples continued to meet on the first day of the week. How they brought their tithe and offering on the first day of the week. And then, of course, how it all culminated in the book of Revelation when John said, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That revelation, it was completed on the Lord's day. The canon of Scripture is completed on the Lord's day, a term that is never referred to as the Sabbath. And how Sabbath had to do with legalism, but how the first day of the week has to do with love for our Lord. And of course, we went into great detail about how our world has gone wild with leisure and how the first day of the week has become a day of pleasure and profit and how we wouldn't dare take off a day of work to go play, but we'll take off the Lord's day to do whatever we want and how important it is. And the whole idea of, Pastor, can I do this? And said, we're not going to answer that question because then we get back into that legalistic place. But I know Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. I know that the New Testament church continued to meet together, and the vital importance of meeting together with your church family. There are those that say, well, you know, I just fellowship with God in the woods, or I just fellowship with God out on the beach. Well, that's great, but that's not what the Scriptures have to say. It talks about being together. It talks about the church. And so we went into some great detail concerning the Sabbath. And then, of course, how do we really keep the Sabbath? The Sabbath was for the Jews. The Lord's Day is for Christ's followers. But the way we keep the Sabbath is Jesus fulfilled the law. And so I keep the Sabbath by resting in Jesus every day of my life. But the reality is we continue to meet on the first day. Well, this morning, all of what we've been talking about transitions from God to mankind, and it starts with this priority on family. And it's not an accident how these are put together. When Jesus was approached, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, when you get this right, loving God, you learn to love God, and then you learn how much he loves you, then what happens is you're able to start loving your neighbor. Now, here's what the Bible says. It starts with loving your parents. If Christianity doesn't work at home, then it doesn't work at all. Christianity starts at home. It's the foundation. And if it doesn't work at home, how can we think that it's going to work? And, you know, some folks will say, well, man, I do really good away from home. You don't understand how God set things up. And it starts with loving God and then loving your neighbor, but it starts with loving relationships, honor, respect in our homes. Look at this commandment, Exodus 20, verse number 12. Exodus 20, verse number 12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's a wonderful command, and it's full of blessing. And there's so much that's connected to these first four commandments, and it sets precedence for the last five commandments, six commandments that we're looking at. Now, this is introduction. You might want to write these things down. They're not going to be in your notes. Who do we honor? Who do we honor? Well, it says we are to honor father and mother. Now, let me just say a word about honor. It's a pretty simple word, but it has to do with respect, to defer, to submit to. Has to do with appreciation, affection for. It has to do with love. Honor is something that comes out of the heart. You may say it with your mouth, but if you don't believe it in your heart, you'll eventually be found out. Because the Bible, of course, says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Honor comes out of our heart. It's internally, and then it manifests itself externally. So it starts with honor. Then, who do we honor? You look at a lot of world religions, you'll find this, that there is emphasis on the father being the patriarch. And in so many ways, you see that in Christianity. But here's what is interesting, is that in this passage of Scripture, God puts fathers and mothers on the same level. That the father and the mother are the patriarch system, if you will. They're co-equal on the proverbial organizational chart. And so in honoring, it says this, honor your father and your mother. So, real practical. We are to honor our father and our mother, which means this: we don't play favorites between our father and our mother. A lot of people do. They like mom because mom got them to get away with everything, but don't like dad, or vice versa. But it's not favoritism. It's to honor both of them. It doesn't say honor your father or your mother. It says honor your father and your mother. Now, watch this. Let me help you out. Because here's what happens in a lot of homes today. It's important. Father honors the mother. Mother honors the father. Because honor, learning to honor your parents, is really taught to us by our parents. So, moms and dads, young moms and dads, you got children, listen closely today. In a lot of homes, and it happens, and we don't like to talk about it, and we act like everything's okay, but if you, just if you happen to be a browbeating, hen-pecking, neat-nicking, life-crushing woman, and I know nobody in here thinks that they're like that. Maybe you should ask the guy who brought you to church today about that. Hang on, because I'll get to the guys in a minute, all right? I'm just going to look down while I preach for a moment. If you're a woman that disrespects, dishonors, and undermines your husband in front of your children, do you think that the children are going to honor their father? No. If you are an overbearing, harsh man who loves authority and loves to say, I'm the head of my home, I'm in charge, what I say goes, woman, submit. Now, let me just tell you, if you're playing that submit card, you've already lost control. But there are those who like to belittle and criticize and knock down their wife verbally in front of their children and treat her as she's basically not. And what men tend to do or can do is treat their wife as if she's just one of their kids and talk to her and punish her like she's one of the kids. Do you think that that child in the home is going to grow up and honor their mother? Kids tend to have a tender spot in their heart toward their mom. And many will defend her and say, well, you know, dad's just a real jerk. But many will end up dishonoring her because he has set the pattern, the precedent of dishonor. Now you say, Pastor, does that mean we never have conflict? Not if you're in the real world. Conflict is a part of life. You take two individuals who live their own life, you put them together in marriage. It is the perfect place to learn and grow out in Christian faith. God knew that. Liz and I have had our share of conflict. We grew up with two different systems of family. Liz's dad had died when she was 9 years old of a brain tumor at 31 years old and left her mom and six kids, and mom remarries, and it was an abusive situation. I grew up with a very authoritarian type of father who ran things this way. I'd never heard of being grounded. Grounding didn't exist in our home. And we had to learn discipline for our kids. We had to learn communication. My dad and mom and that generation communicated much differently. And my family and Liz's family communicated differently, and we had to learn how to communicate. And I will tell you this. We have grown through these years. And just for what it's worth, I just want you to know my wife is absolutely amazing. And I also want you to know this. She didn't know I was going to say that, and she didn't tell me to tell you that. She'll kind of be embarrassed that I'm even saying what I'm about to say here. We've grown through seasons of life. Liz is amazing, amazing wife to me and mother to our children and pastor's wife. We are passionate about life, and we are passionate about each other, and we are healthier in our relation than we've ever been. And we love to laugh, and we laugh a lot, laugh really hard a lot. It's an awesome season. But I tell you, something that we learned is conflict and working through things is a doorway to intimacy, or it's a doorway to division. See, conflict can either draw you closer together, or conflict will either push you further apart. You can talk and grow, or you can shut down and act like a baby and take your toys and go somewhere else and play. But I just want you to know, conflict's going to happen in the home. Now, here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Don't deal with your conflict in front of your kids. Learn how to deal with it privately, whether that's privately together or privately with a counselor. But if you learn not to fight in front of the kids, you'll help your kids to grow up and have greater honor, because somebody's going to get beat up in front of the kids verbally, and it affects them. So don't drop the gloves. Don't rush the mound in front of the kids. Don't air it out in front of the kids. For God's sake, listen to me, don't seek your kids' advice. And don't talk to them about your husband or about your wife. Don't bring them into it. Because you're undermining the command of God concerning honoring. And you're actually dishonoring your spouse and teaching your children to dishonor. And so, it's father and mother. I mean, still glad you came to church. Amen? All right. Stay with me here. All right, so let's take the next step. Honor your father and mother. Why? Why do we honor our father and mother? Listen to this. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. Now remember, this commandment is given to the children of Israel. They have been set free from over 400 years they've been in Egypt. They've been set free. They've been wandering out in the wilderness. It's a family talk, because things haven't been going real good, and they sleeping around, and they lying, and they worshiping. And of course, God gives this command. You get over to chapter 32, and you find they're trying to come up with a golden calf and put it together and worship. So idol worship was a thing, and they had all kinds of issues that was going on. And he said, listen, we got to have honor. There's got to be some respect for God and for mankind, and it starts in your homes. And so you need to honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. It's a promise. You've not yet reached this promised land, but there's a land, and you want your days to be long in that land. So why do we honor our father and mother? Listen, it brings blessing. This is the command with promise. Ephesians 6, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. This command is a command that says, listen, if you will do this, I will do this. If you will honor and if you will obey. Which makes me think this, when it comes time for us to make decisions in life, doesn't it seem that our decisions should be about glorifying God? Most of the time our decisions are this, you know, well, what's going to be best for me? How's this going to work out best for me? But if our decisions are about glorifying God, honoring God, obeying God, I mean, isn't that the objective? To give glory and honor to God, and as a result, our lives are blessed? I can just tell you this. Here's the way I approached parenting. Perfect? No. Did I have perfect parents? No. Liz have perfect parents? No. But the way we approach parents and parenting and what we're learning came down to this. Listen, if we can get our kids to follow us as we follow Christ, if we can lead them to obey, here was our mindset. If we can lead our children, according to Scripture, to obey, they're going to be healthier, they're going to live longer. If they take our counsel when it comes to sexuality, friendship, marriage, finance, nutrition, education, and they follow in our path rather than a world system, their life is going to be blessed. See, I think that's the mindset. Perfect in that? No. But that was our objective in that, to raise our children in that way. So why do we honor our fathers and mothers? Well, number one, it brings blessing. Here's the second thing, an honoring our father and mother. How do we do this? There's so much to this message, and I'm going to have to hustle. We've got about 10 minutes. So listen closely, but I want you to grab a hold of this. How do we honor our father and our mother? There's, in our society, you know, it's amazing. Parenting is radically different, it seems. It's changing. The influence, to go back to it in our society, to Sigmund Freud, and just kill the father. You know, the father's the problem anyway, and if we get him out of the road. But see, really, what that's doing, it's killing the father. It's taking God the Father out of the equation, which we know God is the center of everything. You know, we live in a society where we have separated sex and marriage and family, and we've made them two different things. These are all factors that have affected the way we parent, because, you know, sometimes we were not prepared, we don't want a child, and so we raise with a little bit of resentment. We'll talk a little bit. We have what I call child worship today. But, you know, there's this idea that you really don't parent children, that they're really not bad people. They're basically good. And so you don't have to raise them. You just let them grow to become whatever they will become. Well, the fact of the matter is they have a sin nature, and if there's not repentance and correction and instruction and discipline and discipleship, you let them become what they're going to become. They're going to become sinful, destructive, self-absorbed. And you have to deal with the selfishness of mankind. There's this idea, well, you know, just whatever. That's not what the Bible, it's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us to train our children in the ways of the Lord. And this command concerning honor your father and mother, really understanding it, is a command to us as parents to raise our children to honor their father and mother by raising them in an honorable way. I have children. I'm a father. I'm also a son. And I will, till I die, be a son. Honor your father and mother, I believe, goes through the stages of life. Let me hit this rather quickly. As a young child, this primarily works out in the realm of obedience. That means you don't tolerate the screaming, yelling, hitting fits that people have. And we've seen kids have fits. I mean, you've been in a grocery store and heard what sounds like a war happening on the other side, and you go over and it's a kid laying on the ground screaming and crying and kicking, and a mom down going, honey, just tell me, what do you want? Whatever you, just tell me what you want and I'll get it. And let me just throw this out for what it's worth. That is negotiation. In negotiation, there's a hostage. And the kid's not the hostage, you are. And so we learn as parents to teach, train our kids to obey. And there are times that you look at folks and you go, do you have any idea what kind of kid you're raising? It's easier for us to talk about others than our own. Okay, I'll just say it that way. But honor and obey, when they're young, it's manifested in this obedience. Here's the, in adolescence, it's primarily obedience and respect. The respect means the way that you talk about your parents, young person, when they're present, when they're not. It's the way that you talk to your parents. It's not this yelling, I hate you, you're stupid, I wish you wasn't my mom, I wish you wasn't my dad, slam the door, threaten, it escalates. Moodiness at any level is selfishness, it's manipulation. You know, I don't tolerate moodiness in the workplace, whether that would be a pastor or office or janitorial or volunteer. Why do we allow manipulation to happen in our homes? And so in adolescence, it's about obedience and it's about respect. And then as adult children, how do we honor our father and our mother? I believe it's through respecting them. I will tell you, my dad wasn't a perfect dad, my mom wasn't a perfect mom, but I don't go into detail. In fact, I talk about the good things. In fact, I choose to remember the good things. I think we ought to be careful in how we talk about our parents, alive or deceased. I believe another way that as adults we honor our parents is through care for them. I can't imagine being sentenced to a nursing home for an occasional visit or maybe never a visit. Liz and I lived by a nursing home. The kids were smaller and we were traveling in ministry. I went to that nursing home to say, hey, I drive by here every day. I'm on the road a lot, but my family and I'd like to come and sing, visit the folks. And they said, we'd love to have you come. And so Liz and I and Luke and Paige would go and sing at this nursing home. I'd take my old guitar and Luke would take his drumsticks and play on a book and we'd sing. And the number of people in that nursing home whose parents or whose children never visited them. Eastern cultures understood care much more than we do. In fact, let me tell you this. Jesus gives us the example. John 19, verses 26 and 27. When he's on the cross and he looks down at what would probably be his best friend, John. And who's standing at the foot of the cross is Mary, Jesus' mother. And Jesus looks at his mother and he looks at his friend John, and here's what he says to John. John, take care of my mom. You know what he was doing right there? He was still teaching us how to live life. He was taking care. He was honoring his mother. Let me tell you another way that we as adults honor our parents is by protecting the family name. By the way we live life, we give honor to our parents. How can fathers and mothers parent honorably? Well, number one is this. See your children as a blessing from the Lord. See your children as a blessing from the Lord. In our culture, it seems like when it comes to marriage, it's like, well, go get married, and it's kind of a, seems like a downer. Let me tell you, outside of Jesus, Liz is the best thing that ever happened to me. Marriage is a good thing. It's a really good thing. I thank God for it. And outside of Jesus and Liz, you know what? I'm honored, thankful for Luke and Paige. Glad that God blessed me with those kids. And those kids ought to be glad that God blessed them with me. I used to tell them that, you are so lucky to be my child. I believe that when we are grateful for our children, that it's a step in teaching them honor. I'm thankful. And see, being thankful for my children helps me to live right. See, it's not like a man who would leave his wife and run off with a younger woman. The guy's not thinking about being a patriarch. The guy's not thinking about his kids. The guy's not thinking about his grandkids, his great-grandkids. He's thinking selfishly. But when you realize these kids are a blessing from God, you know what? Makes me want to live right. Protect the heritage. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Here's another way to parent honorably is take responsibility for your child. If I've heard my dad say this once, I've heard him say it 1,000 times. I don't send my kids to school to learn about God. That's my responsibility. To use his vernacular, he said, I send them to school to learn about reading and writing and arithmetic. But my responsibility. And so you know my story. I never left school a day that my dad was home that he didn't lay hands on me and pray for me. And the majority of those days, we read the Bible together. And we had memory challenges, and he taught me to memorize the Bible. What was he doing? He was taking responsibility for us. What did I tell you at the outset of this series? The greatest thing, that this is about the family, and the greatest thing we can do for our families greatest thing we can do for our children is to teach them how to worship. Children imitate. They follow in the steps. And that's the third way to be an honorable parent. A parent is this. Your child's your follower. Your child is your follower. I remember snowy days in southwest Missouri, and my dad had those buckle-up over boots, and he'd go out to shovel the driveway and broom off the snow off the car, and I can remember getting his old boots. I remember it as clearly as possible, and I would step in his steps. That is what our kids do. They follow us. More's caught than taught. Joshua said it this way. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. They're going to follow me. We're going to follow after God. Your child's your follower. Say this. Think this way. I want my family to follow after me like I'm following after God. There's so much. My time has gone. But you need to hear this. How do we dishonor, or how do we honor dishonorable fathers and mothers? In a crowd this size, no doubt, there are numbers of people who have been abused physically, emotionally, perhaps even sexually. There are people whose mom and dad were, dad was a drunk, crows, never home, vile. Or mom was an alcoholic who laid on the couch all day and stayed out half the night. But that there is really nothing about mom and dad that you can honor. How can I keep a commandment when I've been abused, when I've been tormented? I think there's two things that really stick out in my mind, my heart, and it's this. Is there has to be a crossroads of forgiveness. You say, I have to forgive? I've been abused. I can't get around forgiveness in the scripture. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. Jesus was tortured, and on the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them. I tell you often, it's not an emotion, but there has to be a decision of I release this. I choose, according to Scripture, I forgive. And I believe in doing that, you set yourself apart. And then I believe this, how you can honor when they've been dishonorable. And it's to restore honor. How can you honor a dad who was a drunk and a louse and didn't provide? By being a man of God. By being a man of God. By being a woman of God. To restore honor to the family name. To be what they were not. We've talked about the generational spirit to the third and fourth and staying in that. By breaking that thing and being what they were not, you can still honor this commandment. You can obey this commandment. And then, and there's so much there. I pray the Holy Spirit to touch your heart, to help you. Listen, the greatest hurdle any person in this world will ever face on any level is the forgiveness of an offense. But I'm here to tell you that when you do, you talk about a freedom that comes to your heart and mind. You talk about a new day of living. But the single hardest thing you'll ever do is to forgive someone, to let it go without your follow-up statements. So I forgive, but you got to get the but out of it. Amen? And when you get to the forgiveness part, then you'll have a new day. Then you'll have a new day. It's good. And then be what they're not. And then here. Not only am I the son of Fred and Annabella Franks, but I'm a child of God. And I want to bring honor to my Heavenly Father. And how do I honor him? Well, listen to what Jesus did. In Luke 2 and 40, it says, "And the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." Verse 51 and 52, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mom treasured up all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." Lord, my Father, I want to give honor to you by living submissive under lordship. I speak good of my Father. My Father is a good Father. Come on. He's a good Father. Amen. Come on. That's what praise and worship is. We're speaking good of our Heavenly Father.